Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. And oh my God, you guys, you know that I love a luxurious set of sheets. And I now have such a set of sheets because of a Miracle Made. They are bedding that has been inspired by NASA. They've got silver-infused fabrics that actually make temperature regulating a thing. So you're not like getting too hot or too cold or whatever, you know, the whole thing that happens with your body's temperature losing its mind. Miracle Made helps with that. One of the little things that my husband particularly loves about Miracle Made is that it like doesn't have as much bacteria as regular sheets because of it's infused with this silver that prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. So it leaves the sheets cleaner for longer. And then the thing for my husband is that it doesn't give him acne, which is like an issue for some people. But more than all of that, it's just luxuriously comfortable and delightful. And it has that cooling feeling while also being cozy. Very hard to achieve those two things at the same time. I mean, Miracle Made, come on, well done. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and buy some sheets today. And if you order today, you can save 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION at the checkout and you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. So there's just a lot of savings here, folks. Order today, you'll get 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION. And Miracle's so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not 100% satisfied, which I don't see happening, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode. 3, 2.
Oh, that was a good one. That was a solid self-slate.
Fake the Nation, episode 213.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we rake the dead leaves off of democracy, throw them into a compost bin, and make beautiful fertilizer for our country to grow and flourish. I am your host, Nagin Farsad, and folks, people have been trying to bring me down. The pessimism out there is strong, but I won't have it, because it's 2020, and we've got an election to be excited about, and we've got democracy to uphold, and I'm excited, and I'm an optimist, and I'm not going to let people get me down. So today, we're going to talk about that VP pick that we're all so excited about. We're going to do a pandy check-in and we'll talk about the world's great cities and how they're coping with the pandy times. Today's panel is in fact the best panel that could possibly have been assembled for this week's news. Guys, this is so exciting, today's panel. And also because they're my friends, and that's really fun for me. We have with us host of the Employee of the Month podcast. You've heard her on this podcast before. Oh, by the way, when the world opens back up, which is, you know, really soon in the grand scheme of things, you can see Employee of the Month live at Joe's Pub at the Public Theater in New York City. And you can read all of her brilliant works online. She's written for like 100 different places. And you can listen to back episodes of Employee of the Month. And you can just regale in the wonderful Katie Lazarus. Hey, Katie.
Hello. And thank you for, making sure that I feel better about the fact that I still need to get my book proposal finished. you can have someone to something to promote.
I mean, we're going to be right here waiting for that book and ready to promote. I am joined also on this panel by an old friend. We've done so much comedy together. He's one of my OG comedy friends. And oh my gosh, he's the executive producer and host of the podcast We're Having a Moment, which you should be immediately subscribing to and listening to. He's a comedian. He's an author. He's just a jack of all trades. He's really a brilliant guy in every way. And his name is Baratunde Thurston. Hey, Baratunde.
Hello, Nagin. I still always hear your name like your mom says it in your jokes. Nagin. It is a pleasure to be here with you and with Katie and get the gang all back together in Zoom. where literally everything happens. Thank you.
I mean, I know, unfortunately, but fortunately.
Yes.
I also want to mention just a quick like shout out. It's a 10-year Earwolf anniversary. So congratulations to Earwolf. They started up 10 years ago with a couple of comedians who had a vision. And now here we are, and they've got a shit ton of shows and that will make you laugh. And they've got a whole bunch of bonus content that will also make you laugh, including Bonus the Nation, which is available on Stitcher Premium. So, you know, become a Stitcher Premium member and you get Bonus the Nation. You help my show, which I know a lot of you like to do. All right. So a lot of good things. Let us jump in with the biggest news of the week with topic number one. We've been waiting months for the day Joe Biden would pick a running mate. Everyone made bets early on that it would be Kamala Harris. Then, to no one's surprise, Joe Biden chose Kamala Harris. We're here. We have a full ticket. Let's fucking vote already. But before we do that, Katie, Baratunde, tell me what you think of this VP pick.
I'm glad that the choice was made. I'm ready to vote. This is our ticket out of hell. And that's how I feel. I mean, look, I'm mildly annoyed because I've given Joe Biden multiple installations of $20 to $25. So I'm a big donor.
Well
and
done, sir.
I was promised a text message from the campaign that I would be the first to know. And instead, I found out from Twitter where he told everyone, and I'm not special on Twitter at all. No one's special. So I'm disappointed with the quote unquote rollout from that perspective because it made me feel less important and I'm super important.
But Baratunde, he's the presidential nominee for all of America, not just you. So I feel like it was like a strategic move on his part.
Look at you already covering, already boosting. Let's just be honest here, okay? He flubbed the rollout. He made me feel bad, and I'm still going to vote for him. So it cost him nothing. That's how democracy works. I had a flash of like, oh, cool. Kamala Harris. Like, I didn't jump for joy or leap out of my chair.
Right, right.
And I was like, the prosecutorial thing, and she locked up a lot of black people, and she kind of ran a pretty bad presidential campaign from just the measure of, like, not getting a single vote measure.
Right.
But I also realized...
Which is maybe the only measure, if we're honest.
Yeah. But then I took a different perspective, which is I don't care about those things. And what I care about is this binary choice we have between almost literally good and evil, certainly between like hurt and not hurt in terms of having leadership that will not try to slaughter as many of us as possible in super spreading viral events. And when I set the bar there and I recognize the historic nature of having an Asian American woman, a black woman, a woman, on a ticket for a major party in the United States and recognizing that she's considered a safe choice by him. He's not a rabble-rousing kind of dude. You know, like he's been pushed and he's moved and he's merged more with Bernie-ness. But I think it's a mark of something important and probably good that Kamala Harris is the safe choice. And that's I feel good about them. I know that they're committed to us in a way that the current leadership isn't. And I'm excited to hear who's in the cabinet so we can vote for the whole set of Avengers and not just the dynamic duo.
Katie?
I feel similarly with Baratunde. And I was going to say that, like, A, to just like get myself more excited because I wasn't immediately, you know, elated. She's not only the first black woman and first South Asian, female candidate, but her Jewish in-laws, Mike and Barb, are really thrilled. And I highly recommend listening to her 92nd Street Y description of meeting them because Kamala just like laughs at her own joke. And it is so delightful and very Jewish to laugh at your own joke. But also just like, I just loved hearing her laugh, you know, and seeing her laugh because it's like, it reminds you that she is human. And on that note, because, you know, there's a lot of questions from the vice president, excuse me, from the presidential debates that we, you know, we saw, and also from her track record. I was thinking about Fauci, and one of the things that makes Fauci so incredible was, you know, initially he was actually very old school about doing trials, you know, when people who were facing HIV, you know, really needed those trials. And thanks to gay rights activists, he changed his mind. And it makes me like him more. The fact that he was like, oh, he listened and he actually made a change. And I think that that is important, because I was trying to, you know, think about, like, is she evolving? You know what I mean? When people are looking at her new, more openness, it seems like, since the George Floyd protests began. And I just bring that out to say that, like, change is not always fast or the way you want it to happen, but it doesn't mean that people can't.
Yes, I
Kamala
love that.
Kamala Harris, the Michael Fauci of vice presidents. Dr. Fauci of vice presidents.
Or as Barb, as her mother-in-law says, you're even prettier in person.
Well, I mean, I wasn't surprised, as you know, as neither of you were, because this has been the she was the top pick among the speculation class of America, right? Everyone was like, it's probably Kamala. And then it was Kamala. And I was just, I have to say, one of my friends was a former chief resiliency officer for the city of Oakland, and also the chief counselor, or I'm probably messing up the title. Anyways, she was a fancy person. I know some fancy people, guys. It doesn't matter. But my point is, she had worked with Kamala and said to me, you know, like, the thing is, Kamala's really fucking solid. I'm paraphrasing. But that's what I want. I want someone who's really fucking solid. Yeah. Look, there's going to be little discrepancies here on the edges. We're like, when you were a prosecutor, whatever. But, you know, you fucking didn't pay a parking ticket that one time. You paid it late. You know, what the fuck? Like, are you a good citizen or not? Like, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things out there that people have done that I don't agree with. But yet, I'm taking the whole person into consideration. And in doing that, I am really fucking excited. This is a great VP. It is a great setup for a presidential run in 2024. If that's the case, she's a great setup for someone who might have to, like, walk in and do the job of president at some point in the next 4 years. Like, she's really fucking smart. We've seen her do that job in the Senate. We've seen her grill Republicans. You know, we've seen her win races in the great state of California, which is large and big and has a lot of different people and different types of people in it. So, folks, I'm excited. This is it. Let's fucking do this.
Let's now, do it.
My question for you is, Baratunde, you're in touch with the young people. I say that with no backing at all whatsoever. Are you in touch with the young people? Do you think young people are going to be excited by Kamala?
I'm just checking with some young people right now. Hey, kids. Neighborhood kids. They'll get back to me.
No, it's funny because Baratunde and I are like the same age. However, I consider him more in tune with the young people because, like, you're like the first person that told me about Twitter. You know what I mean?
Children definitely roam free. So I would love to do some actual research, but in lieu of that, I will join the speculation class and say, maybe. I actually got a question from, I was talking to a bunch of teenagers doing a talk with, not just like, hey, teens, let's talk, but with a couple hundred of them. And they were asking about, you know, perfect candidates and like, what do you feel about? And I feel like they were telegraphing some of their lack of enthusiasm for Biden himself, much less who the vice presidential pick would be. And so given Harris's record as a prosecutor and not as a defund the policer, certainly that wing of young people is not going to be super enthusiastic from a policy perspective. But I also think that she's like so many things that Biden isn't in other ways that round out that ticket. She is 20-something years younger. She yes. is infinitely browner, like many shades browner. She is a she. And so her personal life story captures something much closer to what a young person's going through than Biden's, who's so clearly in a different kind of age bracket and age league. And I think they're just hungry for not what's happening with the current guys running this thing. Mm. Harris is, you know, when I thought about my own excitement and what resumed a bit of it for me, she's worked at every level of government.
Yes.
Like very local, and statewide and a national office. And she's one of 100 senators. Like she's already so much more qualified than the guy who literally has the job right now. She right. still knows more about government than the president of the United States.
Yeah.
And so my hope is that, yes, young people will be very enthusiastic and get each other fired up to go vote. My hope is also that this campaign continues to meet the moment and push for policies that meet young people where their expectations most reasonably are, because they're inheriting a not good system. And they didn't do that to themselves. Like older people did. We did.
Yeah.
People Harris's age did. People Biden's age did. So we owe them something. And not just on the election, but like the follow through and how we govern after.
I think it's also important to contextualize things. And like, I imagine as a
Katie, wrong. In the media, we do not contextualize.
I mean,
this is all about clickbait. Do not say anything nuanced.
But I mean, you know, she was a African-American female prosecutor. And like, there is a context of what she can and can't get through when working mm-hmm. with the police. You know, like there are things that you can even just like take in the Senate in 1994, and I am old enough to remember 94, and so are Barrett today.
I remember the 90s. It was a great time. It's a great time.
You know, pants were not allowed. Like, senators and congresswomen couldn't wear pants. Like, I mean, they could wear pants.
They were just naked? Just bottom? No?
They could only go bottomless. It was pretty crazy.
Wow. No, like a Winnie the Pooh dress code.
Bottomless,
I did not know that. That's
bottomless,
amazing.
But carrying their Pearl Jam CDs.
That's exactly right. And also
they
wearing
misinterpreted
pearls.
Grunge. Yeah.
They also had to have pearls on at that time, too. But in all seriousness, like, yeah, when they went to go testify, you know, they were encouraged and actually discouraged to wear pants, but only encouraged to wear skirts to a point where it was an unspoken rule. And Senator Mosley Brown and Senator Barbara Mikulski, they had to lead this initiative just so that they could
pants wearing.
We're, you know,
wow.
comfortably with pants. And like, it seems so trivial. And yet at the same time, like, that's how small we have to fight. There are so many levels to which we have to fight. And also to see the progress. Like, I worked at Miramax. I know what it's like to have a toxic boss, which is sort of similar to what we're facing with Trump. And, you know, there's a lot of, whether you're Black, white, Indian, Jewish, whatever, like you do internalize, unfortunately, these prejudices. And so I just want to, like, again, with the context, like.
Katie, you're a wonderful person. I am so happy that you did just what you did. And it's helping me, like, drop into this moment a little more. You know, Harris is a person, right? Kamala Harris is a human being. And when I think about everything she's been able to do in a system designed to like destroy her in so many ways, to ignore her, to diminish her, to dehumanize her. She is still alive. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, she still knows how to smile and laugh. She knows how to bring it into Judiciary Committee interrogations of people like Bill Barr and Brett Kavanaugh. She made Brett Kavanaugh cry, which should be like, there should be a bumper sticker for that. Like, I want to vote for the lady who made Brett Kavanaugh cry. Like, that's, can I vote twice? Because that's a great achievement. Because you know he made people cry with his actions and his decisions and his impact on people's lives at a much broader scale than any harm Kamala Harris has ever done. So yeah, just recognizing the context and the limitations. And as vice president, she has a different role. As a candidate, she's got a different role as vice president, and maybe she'll become president too, hopefully for healthy and good reasons, not for any sort of emergency backup reasons. But I'm feeling even better. This is like a good emotional kind of a workshop.
Right.
I'm like,
we're only doing optimism today. Yes. Listen, I want to say two things. She's a person who laughs and smiles and cries. Yeah. Also, she's a symbol. And I think what's really, I think it's fantastic because of all of the, you know, as you said, Baratunde, she's worked in every level of government. So that experience, smarts, all of that stuff, she's solid. I know people that have worked with her because I know a couple of fancy people.
Yeah, it's like chief resiliency officers. Can we just acknowledge your little chief resiliency officer flex?
I know.
By the way, smart. I've never heard anybody drop a chief resiliency officer before. There should be a prize for that.
You got to hang out with me more, Baratunde. She's solid. She's smart. She's all of those things. And so for those reasons, you know, she deserves this pick. But also as a symbol, this is a lucky benefit. She's not only a Black woman, but I also want to say she's an Indian woman. And for that, like a little Nagin, you know, in the 80s and 90s would have looked at that as like, fuck yeah, because that's what we ethnic bitches do. We fucking get right. picked as VP. It's not a big fucking deal, guys, right? And that's what I would have said, because that's how I talked in elementary school. Uh-huh. And I think that symbol is extremely motivating. It's really powerful. It's a powerful for two huge subsects of the population, Black girls and ethnic girls, right?
Yeah,
like that is so many girls, and I am so excited for them that they now have this symbol. But let me tell you guys one other thing, which is Tucker Carlson.
Why would you do that?
I know.
You said optimism only.
But this is still optimism today, because Tucker, he was talking about Kamala last night or whatever, this morning, I don't know. And I saw a thing trending on Twitter. Don't mean to bring Twitter into our lovely discussion here, but I saw this thing trending on Twitter that he like mispronounced her name. And then the person he was talking to actually corrected him. He said like Cam, I don't actually remember how he mispronounced it. And then he was like, no, sorry, it's Kamala. And then he was like, oh my God, so now you're criticizing me for mispronouncing her name. What Kamala, whatever it is. And he's like, no, it's not whatever it is. She's like a VP nominee. Like you should treat her with respect. And it's and what's optimistic about this is the right doesn't know what to do now. And that's what
I wanted to talk about this.
Many snaps.
Yes.
Right? Yes. So Baratunde, the right, how are they handling
this? They're not handling it. And Tucker Carlton is doing a terrible job, or whatever his name is. Mr. Bowtie. Why? How is he still a thing? You want to talk about like mediocrity failing up and like underqualified people. Why does he still get that platform?
Who knows?
But Biden and Harris combined really create this like hard to hit target for the right. They're not the radicals that the right wants them to be. And it's so obvious. Like Barack Obama picked Joe Biden because Joe Biden was safe, because he was like Uncle Joe for America, because he worked across the aisle, because he had relationships with Republicans. He's still that guy. And now he's come a bit more left, but he's got 72 years as that other guy. So, and then he picks a former attorney general running the largest justice department outside of the Department of Justice in the country. She had to partner with these Blue Lives, which aren't a thing, but these like Avatar Lives Matter. Like those were her homies. You know, she was colleagues with them. So you cannot paint her as this
radical
Black Panther type person, for better and for worse. But I think from the perspective of winning an election, giving people fewer reasons to reject or say no, and reducing the surface area of attack from the conspiracy-minded people, I guess I'll still call them people, on the team of the president and his reelection, they make it very hard. It's just, it's more complicated. And it's like, oh, but she, like the whole Kamala's a cop thing works against them in this moment. And I think for those who also voted for this president the last time around, who recognize he's like a bad human being and the tax cuts didn't pay for themselves, and also maybe one someone in their family is dead, it's just another unobjectionable thing to be like, I've never really voted for a Democrat before, but also I've never had a president try to kill me before. So maybe I can break with precedent.
Right.
And vote for Biden Harris. They seem like reasonable people. Take the job seriously.
Yes. Katie, final words on this.
Whether Republicans who by and large tend to be white, don't like her, doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. The fact is that the population is growing and changing, and more people of color are actually going to be the people who are the majority. And so there is also just a reality, population-wise, that we are evolving, right? That we have become more open as a society in general, right? So like there are not only mixed marriages, but the fact is like you just look at the statistics. So I think that there's also some level of irrelevancy, frankly, to me about this sort of, you know, Mitch McConnell and all these sort of like people who are just clinging to a history that's changing whether or not they like it.
Right. Mitch McConnell has his like Betamax in his house. And he's just like, no, I'm still going to watch movies on this thing. And you're like, OK, do that. But literally there aren't any more movies available for Beta. I think that's absolutely right. It doesn't matter because the country is moving. You know, we're just moving past you. You can think whatever because we're in America and that's your right. But we're moving past it. I love speaking to you about Kamala Harris. I could do it for hours, but you know what we're going to do instead? We're going to take a quick break. We're going to hear about our sponsors. I'm optimistic about our sponsors so much because today's about optimism. And when we come back, we're going to talk about other things.
I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app. And I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money. And because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry. Thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you. So you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a roundabout 8 exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today's show is sponsored by Prose. This is kind of, I feel like, you know, I'm on some sort of Lord of the Rings journey trying to figure out skincare. And I feel like this customized skincare line is really got my name on it. Basically, every bottle of Prose custom hair care and skincare, I tried the skincare just recently, is made to order and it's personalized. It's got a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs, like specifically you. And then the way they do it is you take this great, like in-depth quiz, basically. They analyze over 80 factors for a complete view of your life, your beauty goals. Like I have oily skin that's also dry, which is just a fun little conundrum. I live in New York City. Like we've got these four seasons. My face gets weird during seasonal shifts. All of these things I got to kind of talk about in answering the questions. The other fun thing was they asked us at the end, like, do you like a creamy type of moisturizer or like a less creamy kind? And I was kind of like, I think like less creamy. And they were like, that's fine. Like you can do that, but we think for your skin type, creamier is better. And I never knew that. So I love that there's so much kind of personal information that goes into creating this. I got my stuff in the mail very quickly after. I got a wonderful serum. Like I said, this very creamy moisturizer. And this also very just delectably creamy cleanser that just kind of feel like I think it's possible that I've been washing my face with just like harshness. For like many years, because when I saw this cleanser, I was like, oh, is this what it's supposed to feel like? It's supposed to feel like a little bit of a delight on my face. That's not what I've been doing. So I don't know, guys. And here's the thing, you don't have to take my word for it. In a third party, double blind, dermatologist supervised controlled clinical study, which is like the gold standard for research studies, Prose prove that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives, which just sort of totally makes sense on a just logical level if you think about it. Just it makes common sense. Prose is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% of your first subscription order at prose.com/fakethenation will be taken off. That's prose.com/fakethenation. You get your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. Again, that's prose.com/fakethenation. Go and get your just super personalized, luxurious skincare products and hair care products. That's what I'm going to try next. So prose.com/fakethenation.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it.
They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
We are back. And before we get into topic number two, I just want to do a quick rundown of some exciting elections. As listeners know, people have been writing in about elections. I feel like I've been missing some of these emails because I get them on multiple different platforms, which is completely fine. But if you want to ensure that I see your email, please email it at comments@fakethenation.com. Here's a couple I'm going to mention right now, which is down ballot statewide. There's about down ballot statewide race in Texas for railroad commissioner. I mean, we're going deep. Fake the Nation is in it. They're sending me every important race. And this listener, whose name I did not note, I am so sorry. This listener pointed out that the office has nothing to do with railroads and everything to do with regulating the oil and gas industries, which is 20% of the state economy slash budget of Texas. Did not know that. Turning that seat blue would certainly go a long way to protect the environment. So the person who is running for railroad commissioner, who I'm asking you to check out, is Krista Castaneda. And you can look at our website, KristaForTexas.com. That's Krista with a Y. So railroad commissioner, it's, you know, every elected official matters in the entire web of government. All these people need to be good. So that includes a railroad commissioner. Thank you for sending that along. Also, someone pointed out that Tom Cotton is being challenged by Dan Whitfield, who is an independent. I believe the Democrat was already eliminated from the race. Don't exactly know what's going on down there. But check out Dan Whitfield. I haven't had time to check him out, but I'm curious to hear about Dan and what he's doing. And then I also wanted to mention to you guys, I also wanted to mention to you all, I'm trying to like moderate my use of you guys for people to you all, but I can't, you know, it's like my mouth. Okay. Monica from California wrote in to talk about how hopeful she was. And I love this because today's Optimism Day, how hopeful she was about the people running the election apparatus in her state. She's in California and she's hopeful about the people running elections in California, but by extension, the entire country. She was a materials proofreader in 2018 and then a signature verifier. She saw a lot to complain about, like people being overlooked for promotions and seasonal workers who were kind of looked down upon. So it wasn't all rainbows, but she is so very optimistic because of her former co-workers. And this is what she said to me. She said, we were all doing extremely fiddly, repetitive, often boring work, but we all worked hard. That's in bold. Sure, we were there for the paycheck, but believe me when I say I didn't see anyone phoning it in. There wasn't time for that. We may have been cogs in the machine, but we were still considered election officers and had to take an oath to protect the constitutions of the United States and the state of California. I, for one, took that pretty fucking seriously. Oh my God, Monica, I love hearing about election workers. Thank you. Thank you for doing that job. Thank you for telling me about your experience. I hope it's, uplifting for other people the way it was for me. Also, I want to mention, a couple of people have pointed this out to me. You can vote early in some states. And you can use drop boxes in some states to vote early. You can to drop off your mail-in ballots. And you can drop off your mail-in ballots at early voting polling locations. So, you know, email me. Let me know how you're voting, how your state, what the options are in your state. I'll mention them on the show. Very important stuff. Love that you're telling me all of these things, people. Fake the Nation, isn't it real hard? All right. Now let us move on to topic number two. We're going to just keep things light and talk about the pandy and the economic fallout for a second. So over the weekend, Donnie signed a few executive orders. Let's talk about what they were and what they mean. First, there was a payroll tax cut. I don't want to put you on the spot, but do either of you know what that means?
I wouldn't even know what a payroll looks like. I still have yet to get my pandemic unemployment, and I'm eligible and I enrolled, and it's been 2 months. Tell me more about payrolls.
So here's what's interesting. Okay, we're gig economy workers, so yeah, payroll is a little bit of like a
I'm also, I'm still stuck on railroad commissioner and Krista with a Y. I want to be able to vote for whoever is running against Tom Cotton. It literally could be anyone.
Right. And matter. I think in this case, it's Dan Whitfield. So look it up.
Go ahead.
Okay, so here's the deal. Workers pay 6.2% of their wages to help finance Social Security, and employers and employers pay in another 6.2% on behalf of employees. And you know, that what Trump, and then also employees and employers also pay another 1.45% to support Medicare. Okay, so if we all didn't know that about payroll, now we know. The CARES Act passed earlier actually allowed a payroll tax deferral on the employer share, and then they have like 2 years to repay that. So the idea is not to defund Social Security forever, right? Because then that would ruin it. And so one of the problems with the Trump payroll tax cut is that it's unclear about whether or not he's trying to secretly defund Social Security. So I'll note that as a problem. And then the other thing I'll note as a problem is people that have jobs don't need money necessarily like people who don't have jobs. Right.
Are you saying that this benefits the wrong people, Nikki?
Bertune, that might be what I'm saying. Yes.
You also said something about, you know, it's unclear, like the president's plan is unclear for blah. And I just think stopping at unclear actually works because that's true of everything he does.
Most
as
of
we
the
mentioned
things.
In topic one, He doesn't really understand government. And despite running it, he hasn't seemed to learn very much about using it. No, so this half-baked executive order, it's when you don't know if he did this because he's evil and wants to hurt people or because he doesn't know what he's doing. Like, those are equally legitimate options for most of the things this president has done since being in office. And I feel like this fits that category the same way.
Yeah, no, Katie?
Just that, like, his lack of impulse control, you know, he's, if you think of an a toddler, you know, he is going to have a temper tantrum and try to break as many things as possible. And that may be Social Security, and that may be people living. I mean, you know, and dying based on his just sort of, I'm gonna be upset. And then on the flip side, like, you know, if he feels any sense of like self-congratulatory, I've done something good, I also feel like that just becomes a sort of like, you know, I deserve doing whatever I want in the future. Like, it just like sort of encourages more entitlement on his perspective. Yeah. And there is no incentive for him. He has no moral compass. He doesn't care if you're dying at all. My one regret, I have to say, is that I feel like there's just such a lack of perspective about what's going on. Like, people are dying all the time. I went to just look at the weather today, and next to it's 80 degrees was the number of deaths, as if it was like one and the same, you know? And so there is a deafness we all are experiencing because we're so overwhelmed. You know, it's not malevolent, but it's happening. People are dying right now as we speak. And even when people get sick, because I think there are a lot of people who say, well, you know what, I'll probably be okay. And I hope that that is the case, you know, myself included. I absolutely hope that is the case. And the truth is that when you hear about what it's like to recover, even months later, we still don't know what the repercussions are.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry,
and I think,
sorry to be
and
a downer.
No,
it's great. It's great.
100%.
I'm so,
I mean,
also just like, I'm mad that you checked the weather because that implies you had somewhere to go. And so I want to know what you're doing.
It was an aspirational weather checking, I feel like. Was it?
Absolutely.
It's like shopping at Whole Foods when you know you're not the right income bracket, you know? So I also want to point out there was a $400 unemployment insurance pandemic relief payment on added to it. He said the federal government would pay for $300 of that out of a disaster relief fund and that the states would pay for $100 of that, though hilariously, the states were not consulted. And so that some of the states are like, hey, buddy, how's it going? Hey, we don't have the $100 that you're telling us that we're going to give people. And then also, we saw this in the beginning, you know, the unemployment, by the way, Katie just pointed out, you know, the state's Department of Labor are having a hard enough time as it is keeping up with demand and figuring out who the fuck gets what. So to change the game in the middle and without prior anything means it's nearly impossible for them to have gotten it on August 1st, which is what this, the start date of this thing was supposed to be or retrofitted to that. So basically, and then the hilarious thing is, I don't know if you have friends who got this email or whatever, you got this email, but they said the Department of Labor sent out a huge email that the New York State Department of Labor, I'm sure other states did too, that were like, we're getting a lot of email about Donnie saying this thing. And we just want you to know that, like, we literally have no idea. And just give us a second because this is all super, was not discussed with us. So you're not going to get any money right this sec. So sorry. So it was a hilarious email that the State Department had to send, the Labor Department had to send, because president. Katie, what does that make you think?
Well, and there are two things. One is he said up to 400, and it you know, at best will be up to 300. And I don't know anyone in almost any state where that's going to somehow cover, you know, food and rent, you know, for, I mean, never mind a family of four trying to sustain themselves on that. And then the other part was that there's a bit of a, he was unclear as to whether you'll have to give back, assuming I even get unemployment, then the next part is that I may have to give it back. It was really fun. Yeah, and also just like acknowledges like how little he knows matters. Because he doesn't pay his own taxes. Like he has no idea what any of these things.
Clearly. He still owes us. I mean, the best COVID financial relief plan he could offer is to just pay his taxes from his adult life. I believe it's in the millions of dollars that he has stolen. I mean, that's like a grand larceny at that scale. It's a pretty big felony charge he'd be facing if we had a just society. But a good news for New Yorkers is that you know that your Department of Labor has a working email system. And so that's like silver lining. Like I'm trying to keep it optimistic because you said this was the optimism show.
Yeah.
So that's
right. Also,
lining.
I want to point out that jobless workers who receive less than $100 a week in unemployment are not eligible for the thing Donnie was talking about, which doesn't make sense. Again, I know, Baratunde, I'm blowing your mind. The president said something that doesn't make sense. We'll keep you abreast of what happens with this. We don't know, but you know what I'm excited about? I'm excited about Nancy and Chuck going in there and fucking figuring this the fuck out because they had a goddamn plan 3 months ago. So they fucking know. They know what they're doing, and I have faith. Let us move on to topic number three. This topic came to us from our producer, Anita, who wanted us to talk about people fleeing big cities and what that means. And she said specifically about New York, she said, you know, what does it mean? How does it make you feel when, you hear about people leaving New York City? She said, it's something I've been talking to my New Yorker friends about. Many of them feel like it's been really revealing to see who packs up and leaves New York for 6 months or forever. New York is wonderful to me and there's still nowhere I'd rather be. It feels like a relationship. So when I see my friends moving, when the going gets tough, it makes me look at them very differently. So you're just going to leave when the going gets tough? Psh. That and she made the pish sound in an email. Folks, what we've seen, I mean, I've seen every headline about the ruination and the destruction of every city because of the pandemic, right? Paris, it's over. New York, it's over. San Francisco is over. Los Angeles is over. Rome is over. London is over. So we've seen the headlines. We've seen it for every city. It's been, you know, I'll tell you what I think about those headlines in a second. But what is it, you know, Katie, you live in New York. Baratunde, you've lived in New York. You live in L.A. Or I don't know. You split your time.
Splits time? Go ahead. There's no splitting. There's no splitting. Your game's locked. It's for musical chairs. And wherever COVID dropped, that's where you
are. That's where you are. Katie, what do you think as a New Yorker?
So, you know, I'm hopeful that at some point Employee of the Month will, you know, it was supposed to be our 10-year anniversary starting in September. Wow. We got a residency and I am hopeful that in the future it will be possible, right, in 2021. But I personally have a very serious secondary condition I've had to really consider, like, would it be safer for me, for example, to go to California? But that also means applying for residency there, right? And it means applying for healthcare and seeing if I even get it. And we've already seen with unemployment how hard it is to get that. So I have mixed feelings. Because, you know, it's not merely an intellectual exercise of seeing, you know, an article that says, gosh, people must be falling through the cracks. I unfortunately am facing that quite directly.
Right.
So, yeah, I have mixed feelings on that point. And then I'm also like, I had to turn off Instagram because I would just like, on one level, I would see people who I know are liberal and I know are going to vote. And yet they're like not only not wearing masks in their like pictures from the Hamptons or whatever beautiful like summer house that they have, they're a bunch of them, you know. So that also leaves me a little nervous about what's going to happen in the interim. in the, I do, assuming, you know, Biden wins, I do really feel like people should
optimism
just,
show.
Well, they should wait because it is going to, things can change, you know, and then we have all these other countries reveal, like, you know, you mentioned Paris, you know, they are actually moving forward in the right direction and in a positive direction. So like, just hold and wait. And on just a like psychology point of view, you know, we're all in a, like,
which, by the way, Katie has a background in psychology.
We all have like a sea of anxiety right now. If you have a pulse, like,
yes,
and
yes,
it means that like making major decisions, like moving, you're reactive, and that's understandable. But it means you're not going to necessarily make smart decisions. So
yes,
just like give it a beat and like see, like, things can get better. And look at New York. Like, look how resilient we have been.
Oh, New York, the Europe of the United States. Folks, the virus has been basically controlled here. What? How optimistic is that? How good does that make you feel about New York? So good. Baratunde, what do you think? You're in another big city.
When I lived in New York City, which was up until last year, I dreamed, I had a plan to like take care of New York and make it better. And that plan was everybody leave and let's do a deep cleaning because this place is disgusting. And so again, silver linings, like the more people who leave, the more room for the scrub, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I have, as Katie, many emotions. I don't think it's as simple as you leave New York City, you're a traitor. Fie on you. Also, fie. I haven't said that since Jack and the Beanstalk.
Is that like a Renfair term or something?
I think so. It's my inner child from Fairy Tale Land is coming back right now with you two. But I suspect that most cities are in for a great financial, significant financial ruin in the next several years. The number of people I know who have left New York, and they tend to be wealthier, which means they spend more money. They get, New York City has an extra special tax just for the privilege of living in New York City. That's above and beyond the state and the federal taxes. And that money's going to move with them too, the amount they eat out, et cetera, et cetera. And they can afford to. Now, in some ways, I think that's kind of a balancing and a leveling because New York was becoming this exclusive playground of the wealthy to begin with. Like, life in Manhattan meant Hamptons to some degree, and certain, some of these apartments and the inflation on rents and the cost of everything is because too many wealthy people could just park there. So maybe it'll free things up and kind of reduce the stress on housing costs, on infrastructure, on all these things that the city just wasn't able to keep up with. And then I'm a little rambly here, but I think there's one other piece on the good side. And I had to find this out as someone who left New York because I had wrapped my whole identity up in the ability to survive an environment which was really harsh. And I thought that made me good. That made the city great. That made me better than other people in other cities. And then I came out to Los Angeles, which, yes, is a major city, but I live in such an environment. I'm like, oh, I have a yard now. I didn't think I was a yard person. And that's been better for my mental health. And so independent of the money, I think there are people who told themselves a story that I have to suffer to live, and suffering in New York is a sign of success. And now that I'm forced out and I'm going to live with my in-laws in the Midwest somewhere, and oh, they have food too, and like they love as well, and do they not bleed as well? Like, so I can still be myself in this other space. And the healthy side of this is people realizing that their identity can be somewhat independent of this enforced struggle that New York in particular makes us wear because it's such an unreasonable environment. That's beautiful and good for art and character. It's also devastating financially and on the mental health of a lot of people who are put through unnecessary strain because of the way that city operates.
Can I I just say, I mean, I can't, I on that last point, I mean, I do think that, like, especially in a city like San Francisco, and it's funny because, like, my West Coast friends talk a lot about people fleeing San Francisco, and San Francisco had basically turned into that city that nobody could afford to live in. Like, it had really reached that point already. And so for some of those billionaires to leave San Francisco, there was no housing stock in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, is something, you know, more closer to that level that you're talking about, Baratunde. But in New York City, I do, like Anita, I feel like this is a relationship, but I'm not in New York City to feel suffering, right? And I'm not surviving New York City. I'm thriving in New York City. And I think for me, it's like when I go to my local park on an evening and I see musicians who have gathered and people socially distant watching them, that's the kind of shit that's just not. I was in the Berkshires this weekend and it was nice to visit. I would never want to live there. You know what I'm saying? Like that stuff doesn't happen in those places. That is the reason I live in a major city. You know, that's the reason I also lived in Paris, as listeners may have known.
Did you, however, know the chief resiliency officer of the city of Paris?
I think what we're missing is why do you want to be in a city? Do you want to be in a city? Like, because obviously people aren't in cities because they get a little bit less square footage. Also, fuck your square footage. Fuck your yard. My yard is the entire goddamn city, and I get to see so many people, and I don't feel isolation. That's what makes me excited, is that when I'm in a city, I do not feel the isolation that immediately comes down and swallows me whole when I am in other places. And also, if you live in those other places and you thrive there, that's also fantastic. And I totally respect that. So this is, I'm not trying to shit on anybody. I'm just saying, I think, you know, also everyone needs to take a beat. Like Katie was saying, this is a temporary situation. Do not make extreme life choices based on a temporary situation. I mean, how much patience do we not have as a country? My God, you know, and we're sitting here with our fucking running water, you know, and our microwaves and our free speech, right? And we can't take a goddamn minute for a pandemic to resolve itself? Like, what the fuck? Like, I think about my family in Iran and what they're going through, and they don't have the freedom of speech, and they don't necessarily have electricity. So I think we need to put ourselves in context with what, you know, with wherever it is we live and whatever it is we think is being taken from us, and how wherever it is we think we need to flee to. Katie, you were going to say?
So I think there's different groups of people that we're talking about here, and I want to be clearer about that. And also, I appreciate you acknowledging that people can be happy in other cities, because I think there is, like, I did 12 years in New York and I still am part New York. Like, you don't just flip a switch and become not that.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I don't miss is a certain type of New York arrogance, which says no other place is worthy. No other food is good. Fuck you and fuck your life. It's not even a real life.
No, and I'm also talking about cities in general. Like, I don't want to make this too New York centric. I'm because I've seen every headline. And also, fuck the media for these irresponsible headlines that give people anxiety. Like, the place they live is about to collapse, and that sucks, and it's irresponsible, and it is not helping. It is only increasing the anxiety of everybody. Why are you not reports about looting it, whatever, like, that are delivered without any context? Yeah. I mean, goddamn, like, I can't. Media, you are being irresponsible and you are creating more anxiety than is absolutely necessary. Katie?
I was just gonna, so I live on my own, which means that, like, I have not, like, hugged someone in nearly 6 months, right? And yet, at the same time, the beauty of being in New York is that it is a community. And so that I can, you know, there are ways to keep a healthy over 6 feet distance and, you know, be able to engage with a friend. And it is fun to, like, I have the privilege of being able to go to the park, which has nature. It's incredible. I highly recommend it. Wherever you live, I highly recommend the nature part.
You know, you could hug a tree.
But sometimes, like, I'll hear someone just, like, playing sax in the middle of the day. Like, you know, just, like, on a walk. I'm just walking my dog. So there, I really don't want to discount community, you know, at all, because it really is... on the Maslow hierarchy of needs, it's really important.
Finding that community is more important than the amount of square footage or the layout of your home. And I think what I hope happens for cities in this, you know, in my part of LA, like, they've repaved the streets, they've upgraded the subway faster because there was an opportunity to do that. Like, I joke about the deep cleaning, but the New York City subway is cleaner than it's been in 50 years.
Yeah.
And that's good. And I think there are people who didn't really want the community piece of what it meant to live in a community in a city. And they're going off and doing what they always should have done to begin with and taking their market perverting money with them. And that's probably good for the city, because all of these cities, yes, they have those really good things, but they are all financially unsustainable. The rent is too damn high in all of them. Yeah. The cost of housing is too damn high in all of them. The infrastructure is collapsing in nearly all of them. And so every city started to look the same, with the same cookie cut gentrified building, with the same renaming of neighborhoods, with the same bidding wars for the tiniest slice of whatever. And that's not healthy. So hopefully this gives us a chance to reset, design better, and, like, remember that we want a diversity of people in these cities. And maybe if some of the Hamptons folks want to make some room for artists and workers and teachers and doctors and nurses and nurses' assistants to also live in that city, that would be a positive outcome from all of this. And this is me trying real hard to stay optimistic.
Optimism day. No, thank you for that. I agree that, I agree with that assessment. And I agree with my current assessment that, and this isn't about New York.
Yourself?
Like, this isn't about New York. This is about, like, why did you choose to live in a place? And what is it about one hiccup that is making you fucking go crazy? You know what I mean? And, like, immediately lose your mind and, like, change everything that you're doing, Like, you know what I mean?
I know you're trying to, control the time here. I just want to add one more constituency, which is parents. And I have parent friends who live in these cities, and they didn't sign up for this particular arrangement, right? With two or three kids in 700 square feet, maybe. Those, like, it was a timeshare relationship with the space before COVID. It's like, oh, well, the kids are, that's we're never cool. here at the same time. Doing all the things we need to do to get, like, no, you go to school, I go to work, you go to camp. And I do empathize with people who have to rethink, like, how do I provide space and learning and care and diverse interactions in a space that really was supposed to be like a sleeping pod. And now it's got to be a school and a gym and a common room and a bar and a restaurant. That's a little different, and hopefully people are starting to figure it out and work it out. But I have some understanding for folks who are like, oh yeah, this doesn't, if we're going to have to live like this for the next 2 years, it's going to break my family and my mental health to keep us in this little box together like this.
Katie, you have the last, because we're running over and the overlords are mad.
Quick tip. I feel like if you put a mask on, which you need to be doing anyways, and you put sunglasses on, which you also need to be doing, no one can recognize you, whether you're unfamous like myself or otherwise. And therefore, you can cry in public. No one knows or cares. And then also, if you need to yell, because I do believe, like, grieving is an important thing to do, you can do that too. It's not necessarily effective in getting more people to, you know, put their masks on properly, but still, it does feel a little good in that moment.
And for the rest of you, my helpful note is move to New York. It's fantastic.
The rents are cheaper now.
And maybe you'll get a better deal now.
You'll get a great deal on a fucking great apartment. What? I mean, who? You don't need a fucking yard. Okay.
this anti-yard thing is hilarious.
No, it's fine. Okay. I obsess over the flower bed in front of my building. So I get it. Flowers. All right. I need to end the show. And my last question as we end the show is, what is making you hopeful?
I'm hopeful that some nerds are in self-quarantine, whether they need to be or not, and they're like inventing a 3D printer that has all these like eligible, cute, funny people I might be able to meet. And because I'm not as worried about surfaces, like they can just deliver them right in front of my door.
That's a really weird one, and I love it.
I was trying to be honest.
Yeah, like, very honest.
Baratunde, what is making you hopeful?
I'm working on a project it's actually a new show called How to Citizen with Baratunde, and it's a podcast, of course, because that's all we can do now as a people. But I'm hopeful because I wanted to be better at being like a citizen, not in the documentation status, but like a lot of stuff we've been talking about, knowing your neighbors, living in community, connecting with others, and then doing so for a common good, not just like a selfish good. And there are so many people who are showing up, and like I'm learning so much that makes me feel good about why we even bother to do this thing in the first place. And it gets well past elections and candidates. So like, why do we live together? Like, why do we live in a city? Why do we live in a nation together? Why do we try to have anything in common? And it's because we need each other. Psychologically, we need each other, to Katie's earlier point. Biologically, we need each other. Emotionally, and in so many other ways. And COVID's reminding us of that. So I feel hope because there are many other people who feel that way. And because I'm learning, I thought I believed it, but now I am learning even more about why this stuff matters, and it makes me feel good. Also, Katie and I are wearing the same color shirt.
It's been really lovely to look at.
It's really nice.
I want to let you guys know that I had a really interesting interaction that made me so hopeful. Ooh. I ran into a neighbor. I ran into many neighbors on the block, which is one of the many wonderful things about New York. And so I ran into a neighbor. We were chatting, And I'm like a hey, what's up neighbor. Like I kind of try and hey, what's up as many people as I can. And like I said, I have the flower bed in front of the building, and you know, I try. And this guy was saying like, oh, we were talking about school reopening, and he was saying he's like so hopeful, whatever, but he's just, you know, he's nervous and all that stuff for his kid and all, whatever. And so we're having that conversation, and then at the end I was just like, yeah, well, you know what? We're all just going to keep wearing masks until there's a vaccine. And this is just a break, you know, from when we get back to better than normal times. And he's like, oh, I've heard some things about the vaccine, you know? And I remembered, oh, fuck, there are people out there that don't believe the upcoming vaccine is something that they should take, right? And I hadn't even thought of this as a conversation point. Like, I haven't heard anyone say this yet, but here someone was in my backyard saying that they had some, you know, a vaccine that has not been approved yet is already something they would consider not taking. And I said to him, I was like, listen, I'm from a family of doctors. I really believe in the process that they're going through to come up with this vaccine, and I will be taking this vaccine. I trust the medical establishment. I trust them so hard. And he said, you know what? I trust you. So if you take the vaccine, so will I. And I thought, holy fuck, how great is that? First of all, I'm just a what's up, like idiot on the block, right? There's like, I have no real anything, but this person trusts me, and I may have an impact on his life, just a tiny itty bitty one. And that's what all of us can do. All of us can do that to our neighbors, right? And so have those conversations. They're really fun. And I don't know, I was really heartwarmed. So that is what is making me hopeful.
Nagin, what I heard from that story is what we can all do is force our neighbors to take a vaccine. That's like, it's, we can all do this to our neighbors. You want to pin them down. You want to get a good grip. Probably wear some gloves so they get slippery when they're nervous.
No, but the point is that, like, people need to hear a differing perspective.
Yes.
And you are the person, the great, fantastic, wonderful neighbor that they need to hear from. It's you.
Oh, that's so heartwarming. As someone who's getting to know my new neighbors here, I love that story. Thank you. That made me feel hopeful.
Good. I'm glad. But what I really would like to do is for the people of Faith the Nation to know you and find all of the stuff that you do. Katie Lazarus, where do they find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram. And I also just want to thank Nagin and thank Baratunde. And like, you have given me more hope about voting. And after that, I can call, Congress about Brianna. Like, there's so many things that I feel more inspired to do. So thank you guys. And yes, you can find me on Instagram, Katie Lazarus.
Katie with a C. Baratunde, where do they find you?
You can also reluctantly find me on Instagram, Baratunde with a B, B-A-R-A-T-U-N-D-E. Baratunde.com has all the show stuff. And I got a special one for you, Fake the Nationers. Which is, you can text me, 202-894-8844. Do it right now. Text me, put Fake the Nation in the text. It's kind of like a texty mailing list, except I also respond a lot, and I'll tell you happy birthday almost all the time. Well, not when it's your birthday, like appropriately, not randomly.
You're just randomly so telling people
it's
birthday.
Yeah, it's my cool community text number. We've been talking a lot about community here, and thank you again, Nagin, for having me.
Well, you all know where to find me and with all the stuff that I do, but I want to shed a little bit of light on the Beirut Emergency Fund matched one-to-one. It's a GoFundMe for the people suffering from the explosions in Beirut. My pinned tweet on Twitter. So you can find the link there. A friend of mine set up this emergency fund. And like I said, it's being matched one-to-one. You could probably Google it, but it's like I said, it's pinned. It's Beirut Emergency Fund. Matched one-to-one is the title of the fund. Donate to it, and it's going to go to a list of organizations that are on the ground and that are helping the people of Beirut, who we really, really want to help. And what I would really like to do, though, is thank the people that make this show happen. That's our production team here at Fake the Nation, our producer, Anita Flores, our talented audio engineer, Andy Christens, Gabby Alter wrote our theme music, and Lily Fleshler helps out with research. And listeners, we love to hear from you. Send us your feedback, topics we should be chatting about, guest ideas. You can leave us a voicemail at 331-901-0005 or drop us a line at comments@fakethenation.com. If you like what you hear, please favorite Fake the Nation on Stitcher, follow us on Spotify, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts because it helps more people find the show. Thanks, everybody. You're great. It's Optimism Day. Yeah.